let's bow our heads this morning. Praise the Lord. And the Lord bless each one this morning. Praise God. If you have a need, just lift your hand up before the Lord this morning. God bless every hand that's raised. And there's so many. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. We bless you, Lord Jesus, this morning that your name is far above every other name. Lord, we would humbly, reverently come before you this morning with thanksgiving and praise in from your footstool into your very throne room and into your very presence because of the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Father, I pray that you'll sanctify every one of us, wash us afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God, forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed, cleanse us, wash us, fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. I do take the Holy Ghost to help me right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I need your help. I need you to move and have your way. Every one of us do. But we acknowledge you that you promised for two or three is gathered in your name. You will be in the midst and that to bless us. We thank you for the blessing in the name of Jesus that you promised to be here. Lord, you see the hands raised. You know every single need. Lord, I'm asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you will meet every single need. Lord, bless everyone in this house. Meet every need. For those that couldn't be here because of work or some other situation, bless them. Be with them. Meet their need. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning that Jesus will be seen and no one else. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one this morning. Let us turn in our Bibles to Leviticus chapter 1. And just to say, we'll have Brother Davy McConville on the first Sunday of October. I said to the wife, August, she said, is that next year? October. And then we're going to have Brother Andrew Beecham over on about the 20th of October, the weekend around that date. And we're still to confirm, but we're hoping maybe to have the Saturday night if we can get this hall. As well, there's the two meetings on Sunday. And I know it's hard to get people to attend meetings, but the thing is about it, that doesn't mean to say you quit. Because if you'd done that, sure, you wouldn't have any meetings. You'd have no meetings. But we need to go on with things of God. And as a pastor, I cannot be responsible for who comes and who doesn't come. I can't do that. I do my best, bring the word of God, whatever I can do. And it's down to every individual that they need to serve the Lord. I've been really reading a lot, praying a lot, studying on prayer. And why revival tarries? And the answer is dead simple. It's a simple answer. It's really simple. God's people need to get more into prayer. All of us, preachers and all included, we need to pray more. And may the Lord help us to be men and women of prayer. Let's read this morning. And there's the five offerings here in Leviticus. Through these first three chapters, you see, first three, four chapters, there's the five offerings. And this is a study on the five offerings. But I want to sort of look this morning at the devotedness of Christ. And I want to see Christ in these verses this morning. And I'm going to read nine verses of chapter 1 of Leviticus. And I want to try and bring out the Lord Jesus from these Old Testament things. And it surprises me from Leviticus how much of an evangelical preaching you can do from the book of Leviticus. If we have some book to do a mission on, and just to take the book of Leviticus, you could preach the gospel every night easily from the book of Leviticus. Let's read from verse 1 to verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd, and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest and Aaron's son shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that it is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and he shall flay it. Now some of you younger ones might know what the word flay means. Anybody know what the word flay means? It means to skin it. Strip it down. It has to be skinned. Cut up in pieces. Boys, you'd get in trouble today talking like that, wouldn't you? With these new age movements and all these other cronies. You're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that, but you can be a homosexual and shove it in somebody's face and wear a six-coloured rainbow and you'll be all right. If you enter any competitions, you'll win them all. Because if you put a mark down again you, that would be homophobic. But praise God for the truth of the Bible. This book's a bloody book.
Amen.
It's full of blood and sacrifices and chopping and cutting. And it all speaks of the Lord. And he shall flay it, skin it, the burnt offering, and cut it in his pieces, and Aaron's sons, and the priest shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts and the head and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire which is upon the altar. But his inward and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Now you may have seen it. You know that God will bless the reading of his word. Now study of these offerings in this Bible can do nothing but deepen our reverence and our respect for the word of God and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, who all these things represent. We should never overlook the fact that all these particulars given here in this chapter are given of these five offerings. Every single one of them reveals so many different aspects of the Lord Jesus Christ's life and work. That's what they reveal. And these were given to Moses by Jehovah himself. Moses never made these things up. God visited Moses supernaturally, and God not only gave Moses the Ten Commandments, but he gave him these orders here as well. Did you know the time of Moses had a lie detector test? I think I preached it when I preached on the chemistry of the blood one night. They had a lie detector test. And you could do it and tell if the person was telling lies. If you'd done that with the politicians today, there'd be some red faces, wouldn't there? On them and government. Give them a lie detector test. And some of the biggest liars. And understand what I'm saying. You have men in government that's killed and murdered, and they say they never were even in an organization. There's never a liar through a breath bigger liars than them. That's the truth. You know the Bible calls them, they're at the father of the devil. If they're not born again, they're going straight to hell. And they need to be born again. And I'll tell you, if they are born again, they won't magnify their past. How could they? You have to magnify Christ. That's your future. Your past's a shame, and it's gone under the blood. You don't bring it out and magnify it. It's covered under the blood of Jesus. All these things, God had a plan from the beginning that we can know the character of Christ and his sufferings beforehand. And these burnt offerings, an approach offering, indicating the way to God. Now, there is only one way to God. There's a famous preacher in America, and he came on the Oprah Winfrey show. How many's ever heard of Oprah and Winfrey? When he came on her show and she asked him the question, and I'm not going to name him, I'm just giving you an example. But she said, is there more ways to heaven and God than Jesus? And he says, even the way the face he put on him, somebody should have took her hand. You know, my grandfather had a great big hand on him. And sometimes a clout round the ear wakens you up. But he sat there in a wee timid voice. Now, I know that there's many different ways to heaven and God. Lies. That's a lie. Never let no preacher tell you that there's many different ways to heaven and God. There's one way. There is, but only one way. And I want, as long as I live and I'm here, to emphasize that. that there's only one way. And if somebody wants to tell there's other ways, do you realize, do you realize that a preacher that does that will stand in the judgment of God? He'll have to answer for that sort of talk. Just like the Pope. The Pope one day will have to answer for God when he gave out to the whole world, come to me, don't come to Jesus. He'll have to answer for it. Every idle word the Bible says, there has to be an account given for every idle word. Every one of us have to watch our tongue. Isn't that right? Paul said the tongue's a small member, but it moves the whole ship. It does a lot of damage. I just pray the Lord will keep me on the text this morning. Many times myself, I say things I shouldn't say. And then afterwards I say, well, you shouldn't have said it. But may the Lord help every one of us to watch what we say. Much depends on the character and the manner of the offering. And much depends on which it was offered. It must be without blemish. Now you read in verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let it offer a meal without blemish. So this couldn't be any lamb. You couldn't go into your herd and you'd say to yourself, well, I tell you, there's a lamb that's limping, I'll pick it out. God wouldn't have wanted that lamb, wouldn't have done. You had to pick the best you had. The best you had to be offered here. And I want to tell you that 2,000 years ago, God picked the best he had. He picked the best he had. He picked a lamb without blemish, and he picked a lamb without spot. And I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the only man that is without blemish and without spot. And there's no other man born of a woman that you can show me that's without blemish and spot except the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why God says he'll not give us glory till another. He wants us to preach Jesus. He wants us to pray to Jesus. He wants us to worship Jesus and give it all the glory and all the praise to the Lord Jesus Christ and another, because he is the only one without blemish and without spot. He's the chosen male lamb slain from the very foundations of the world by the foreknowledge of God. I tell you, he's God's lamb. God's beloved lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1, verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. One sin in thought or in feeling made him a blemished sacrifice. But Jesus had no sin in his thought, no sin in his feeling. He was absolutely perfection personified. Let me say that this morning. No one like him. I hear people and they make other men on the level of Jesus. Maybe the Spirit can move a man. I believe that. I believe the Spirit that was on Jesus can come in a man. And the same works, but that will not be the man. That will be Jesus in the man. And you can't give the man the glory, but you must give Jesus Christ the glory. Amen. No other man. That's why John said, I must decrease. Yes. But he must increase. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. It must be brought to the door, verse 3 as well. So it must be without blemish and it must be brought to the door. There's a certain place and a certain way that it has to be brought. The door of access to God. You know, it's been blocked by sin. Through the sin of one man. For by one man, Romans tells us, sin entered into the world. And so death by sin and death passed upon all men. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single man has sinned. You see that word sin? That's the thing that separates everybody from Jesus. When you come across these men that show you another religion, whether it's Buddha or Muhammad, and they bring up a man and make him the equal to Jesus, they cannot. Jesus is separate. He's unique. He's special. Oh, hallelujah. He's God manifested in flesh to destroy the works of the devil. It can only be opened through suffering and sacrifice. Jesus came for this purpose. Now he says, listen, he says in Revelation, behold, I sat before you an open door. Revelation 3, verse 8. He sat before you an open door. No man could shut it.
Amen.
Now, if God speaks that, God does it. People have said, you know, you need a watch, or you won't go here, and you won't go there, and you won't do this, and you won't do that. When God says, I've sat before you an open door, has he done it or not?
Amen.
If I open that door, it's open. And if it says no man can shut it, that means tomorrow it's not closed.
Amen.
And it's not down to you. It's not down to me either. It is God that says, I've sat before you an open door, and no man can shut it. Aren't you glad the way it's open this morning?
Amen.
The way it's open for the vilest offender who truly believes that moment from Jesus,
amen,
a pardon receives. The way is open. There's an open door this morning. Pope of Rome can't shut it.
Amen.
The Archbishop can't close it. The General Overseer can't close it. God has opened it. And it's open this morning. Aren't you glad it's open? Praise God. John 10 verse 9 says, I am the door. I am the door. Jesus says he's the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out. Let me read you this quotation from a message called Revelations chapter 4. There's only one way. There's only one way that goes into the body of Christ. There's only one door to the church of the living God, and Jesus is that door. I am the door, I am the way, the road that leads to the door. I am the door to the sheepfold, he said to his church age. I've set before you an open door. And he said, write down, an open door the Lord has set. And you know, every church age has been given an open door. Do you know that? And we're in the last church age. We're in the last dispensation. The seventh church age. The Laodicean church age. The most filthiest age, the most dirtiest age. And the word Laodicea means people's rights. I will do my own thing. I'll blow up it but a homosexual. I'll stand in the corner and tell the teacher I'm identifying the day as a cat or a dog or a mouse. I'll do my own thing. That's the age we're in, brothers and sisters. I'm a politician that won't say a word against it. And preachers as well. That's the age we're in. And Jesus says it, rather you're cold or hot, or I will spew you out of my mouth. In other words, you make me sick. That's what God says. God says this age is a lukewarm age. God says in this age, this is not the age of revival. I know we want revival, we're praying for it. But God says, many shall depart from the faith in this age and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Is that this age? Absolutely this age. This is the age for the disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. This is the age for they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Or Armand doesn't believe in that. Armand. I am not interested in Armand. I'm interested in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13 and 8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. How do you get into the church? For one spirit. One spirit. And Jesus is the door. This sacrifice must be killed before the Lord. Verse 5 of Leviticus. And must be killed before the Lord. There's a requirement here in the way everything has to be done. And this all speaks of the Lord. A blameless life is not enough to atone for sin and to remove the barrier from the door. A blameless life. I've heard so many people saying, oh, you see that man, he's a Catholic. He lives a better life than many a Christian. That's good. That's wonderful. But he's still not saved. I don't care if he puts his neighbor's bin out every week. I don't care if he does the shopping for them and carries them down to the place on his back. He's still not saved.
Amen.
And the fact that he's not saved, he's gone straight to hell. And there's no priest to save him, or no purgatory or nowhere. Only Christ can save him.
Amen.
And until that man or woman acknowledges they're sinners by nature, they're sinners by birth, they're lost without Christ, and they come by God's provided way, they will not be saved. You could look and say, he's a wonderful lad. I'm going to tell you this morning something. Now, my father was on a job one day, and it was a day like the day. It's wonderful weather, isn't it? It was a hot day. And he went down to the shop, and he brought up 3 tins of Shandy Bass. And there was one fella, what do you call them? Catholics that are religious is a name for them. Pioneer. Who's ever heard of a pioneer? Well, this fellow was a pioneer. And my dad gave them a tin of shandy bass each. Now there's about, what alcohol's in it wouldn't get a mouse drunk if he drank a crate of it. There's no alcohol worth talking in it. But anyhow, he gave them all this tin of shandy bass. And there was a Mr. Pioneer there. And there's another weak Catholic man there. And the pioneer, he condemned him. And he said, boy, I am surprised at you men drinking stuff with alcohol in it. And you're claiming to be Christian men. So my dad never said nothing to Mr. Pioneer. But later that day when he was by himself, my dad went over to him. And he said, you know, he said, which would be the worst sin? To drink the tin of shandy bass or to spend a weekend with a nurse that you weren't married to? Which would be the greater sin? Fornication and adultery or drinking a tin of shandy bass? And his face glowed red, for he was a man. He was a man. And the Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. Mr. Pioneer thought he was religious, but his religious didn't last long. Because in every single man there was something that's wrong. And in every single woman there was something that's wrong. And today you see much, so much of piety. Our family, it's such a, you know, it's a family that you can look at and there's not a mistake. Well, if you get your family tree, you're not afar to go till there's something somewhere. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. That's why we must preach salvation. Through Christ alone, by faith alone, till every man and every woman that will believe. The pioneer needed to get saved. And his pioneer work wasn't much use. When he could go and live in a weekend sin. I know the old priest would have given him a wee letter. License to sin. Indulgences. Did you ever hear of that? That's what done Luther in. He blew up. He blew up. He went over the top when he seen the letter. He seen one of his members drunk. And he said to him, my goodness, what are you doing, man? And he said, Father, so-and-so, give me indulgences to get drunk. And Luther had had enough at that point. And he took his 95 theses to the door of Wittenberg. And he nailed it till it, praise God. And one of the things was in that was an annunciation of the Pope of Rome. That was one of the things in it, because he knew he was Antichrist. And every Baptist, and you go back through your Bible history, every single church, Baptist, Methodist, and every one of them, but all at home, every one of them knew the Pope was the Antichrist. And we have men preaching today, we're looking for a Jew that might be the Antichrist, or we're looking for him. Don't be looking anywhere, only to Rome. He sits in seven hills. Vicarious filii dei. In place the Son of God, and he wears the fish god crown on his head. He is Antichrist. I don't want to get well in on him. I'm going to take a whole subject just on the Pope some of these Sundays. There's not near enough preaching about him. Since Paisley passed away, nobody preaches about it. That's one thing I'll give him. He knew how to preach about it. And you say, what good did it do? You see, this is the big lie that's in this country. One of the big lies in this country. People thought for years Paisley hates the Catholics because he blasted the Pope, but he had more Catholic conversions than the whole lot of them put together. Did you know that? That's the truth. He's a quiet and not modern anyhow. It's the truth. It's the same when George Jeffreys came here to Northern Ireland. Let me tell you this. When George Jeffreys came to Northern Ireland, the Jeffrey brother years ago, and they were preaching divine healing, all the denominations protested them. And they said them Jeffrey boys are not interested in people getting saved. They're only interested in this healing stuff. And George Jeffrey's first week of meetings, 120 got saved. And the rest hadn't seen 120 saved in years. But that's how the devil sows lies on preachers. That's how he works. That's the truth. Christ must die. And he must die before the Lord. Doesn't it say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook him. How many knows he left him in the Garden of Gethsemane? He left him. He died and suffered alone on the cross. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he yielded up the Spirit. He died alone. I tell you, the Virgin Mary didn't die with them, pray with them. That's all nonsense. Jesus Christ done it alone. He done it alone because he was God's provided way. His death was Jehovah's doing, not man's. Pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. Atonement, Isaiah 53, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Is that the word of God? Absolutely. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He put him to grief. When thou shalt make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He died alone. And he died for me and you. And he was the door. Amen. He was the door. It must be laid in order also, that sacrifice upon the altar. Verse 8. It must be laid in order. There's an order of God. Hallelujah. Everything here must be in order. As everything is typical of him who come to do the Father's will, the kneeling of Christ, our sacrifice upon the cross, may be here in a figure in Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us. He took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. All of us broke the law, but Christ nailed it to this cross. That's what the Word of God's saying here. All of us done it. You ever see that fella, Ray Mears? He's great. Ray Comfort, sorry, brother. Ray Comfort, he goes on the street. He takes the Ten Commandments. And then he'll ask the question, you ever told a lie? Well, if I haven't really, no. And it's not too long till you find out you have told a lie. Who hasn't? I used to be a real big liar. I remember that my mum been brought to the police station and sit and tell them, Tommy, and I told them that was it. Tell them the pile of lies. It wasn't serving the Lord then. That's only telling you. You know, when he goes on the street, you ever tell a lie? No, never tell a lie. You ever stole? You ever looked in something and wanted it? You ever done that? You'll feel somewhere. Maybe you never did tell a lie, but there's somewhere you'll feel, and I'll feel. I'll feel most of them. I'll not lie about it. I'll just tell you the truth. I was a sinner. You know, there's that other fellow I was reading something. He said, he's a great wee man preaching and prayer and all that. He's dead now. He's a great man in England. Brother Andrew talks about him a lot. No, his name, Leonard Ravenhill. Leonard Ravenhill says you should never say I'm a saver, sin by grace. I'm only a sinner. I'm a saved sinner. He says you shouldn't talk like that. He says you're a different person now. You're not no longer a sinner. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. He says that's like saying I'm a sober alcoholic. You're still acknowledging your defeat. Says you shouldn't talk like that. He's the only man I've ever heard saying that. But it's the truth in it. You're saved and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus. You don't go into here this morning sinning like you used to. Because you're saved. You've no desire for it. And if you do make a mistake, you go to the blood of Jesus. And it cleanses you from all sin. Nailed to the cross. His blood must be sprinkled. Verse 5. The blameless one becomes a lifeless one. He was blameless and he became lifeless. And he became lifeless so that me and you could have life. He gave his life that we could have life. And we're not just having our life. We already had a certain life. But we're having everlasting life. His life. He gave his life that we might have life. The blood which signifies life must be applied. And that's Leviticus also 14:17. You read that. To the altar and to the heart. The sprinkle of blood saved the firstborn in Egypt in Exodus chapter 12. You can study it and read about it. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. There had to be a life given. And the life for the flesh, Leviticus 17 says, is in the blood. And Jesus says, I've given it for you. Show me another man this morning that can say that. There's no one. But Christ done it. Hebrews 12:24, unto Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel. And Abel's blood was fit to speak to God. And God heard it, and God answered it. And how much more speaketh better things the blood of Jesus? Its inward parts must be washed. Verse 9, we've read it. They must be washed. The inwards may suggest the thoughts and feelings and intents of the heart that must be clean before God. And the Bible tells us we're to cast down all reasoning, all vain imagination. You could think something and it could be totally wrong. I could think something about you and it could be totally wrong. You could have an idea in your head that somebody thinks something about you and your idea could be nonsense. You must cast down all reasoning and all vain imagination. And Christ, we need the mind of Christ. That's what we need, Christ's mind. Our own mind would lead us astray, wouldn't it? But we need the mind of Christ, the sanctified mind. And when you go into the tabernacle and you see that, you know, with the priest word on its head and the gold around it, because the gold on that speaks of the mind of God, deity of Christ. God was in Christ. It was God's mind to the people through Christ. And we need God's mind. You know, the only way we can get God's mind by reading the Word of God. We need to meditate upon the Word of God. Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are pure, think upon these things. All was perfect in the Son of the Highest as our Passover Lamb. He could say, Psalms 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will. Oh my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. Jesus Christ done the will of the Father. Even when he went into the wilderness, he was in the will of the Father. The Spirit led him into the wilderness. Must be all led on the altar. Verse 9. All was given to God. He offered himself holy and acceptable, a sweet savour unto the Lord. Jesus said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He gave all to the Lord. You know, there's people and they get saved. They do get saved. They call on the Lord and get saved. But they don't really give all to the Lord. They still want to do their own thing. And they want to say they belong to the Lord and do their own thing. But Jesus laid all on the altar. Everything. He committed all to the Lord. And the Bible says we as individuals are to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways. And he will direct our paths. We must acknowledge him. Ephesians 5 and 2. And walk in love as Christ also have loved us and have given himself for us. An offering and a sacrifice to God for sweet smelling savour. And there's two things we learn from that this morning. Two things. Some things about we learn. An approach offering was needed. It was needful. Many times even when we pray, we're demanding of God. We're demanding. But there is a way to approach God in prayer. We should be coming to the Lord, not demanding. We should be coming broken, as it were. Thank you, Lord. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. You know, Jesus shows the example. The boy says, with his chest out, you know, I've done nothing wrong. The other boy fell down and said, Lord, I'm only a sinner. And he said the second man was accepted. There's a way we ought to approach God. God's not just our wee messenger boy. Get me this and get me that. We need to thank the Lord. When we come into these meetings, we need to come with thanksgiving. We need to come with praise. If you come here and don't feel like singing in, the verse is good for you. Bring a sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Make an effort to praise him. Make an effort to worship him. Make an effort to pray. Make an effort to read the Word of God. Look what he's done for us. He gave everything for us. An approach offering. Because of sin, man has forfeited all its right and fitness to approach God. Jesus is the only way, Romans 5:12. Wherefore as one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin unto death, passed upon all men. Then this offering was to be voluntary. The Lord wants you to bring your offering voluntary. Now that goes back to whether it's a deacon, the elder, the pastor. I shouldn't have to get up and beg people to come to church. You should want to come. You should want to come to the house of the Lord. You should want to have a time with the Lord. Nobody begs me when I'm at home and I go away and I lock myself in and study and wait in the Lord. I don't need nobody to beg me to do it. I feel I want to be alone with the Lord. It's a time of fellowship. I don't care about other things. You have to get away with the Lord. If you really love him, you have to get away with him. And I tell you, we need to get alone with the Lord. We need to be voluntary in it. It's the same with an offering. Or a tithe. You can't force somebody's arm and say, I tell you what, boy, you're giving me 100 quid this month. You're paying in so much this month. It's voluntary. But you see, you don't muzzle them out to the oxen that treads out the corn either, or you'll kill them. It's the same. Financially, spiritually, it's the same. All through the Old Testament, they brought of the fruit of the ground a tenth unto the Lord, then an offering unto the Lord. It's part of Scripture. I know some people mightn't believe in paying anything, and maybe they're millionaires, they don't need it. But you go this week and do your work wherever you're working, and when it comes round Friday, you say to the boss, hold on, don't want anything this week. It's free. Tell them it's free, you'll not need it. And then when you have a bill to come in to pay your mortgage, your car, whatever, you'll know then you've done it for free. You'll not have the money to pay for it. And I tell you, Jesus paid everything for us. He paid it all. I'm only using this as an example, but the Lord paid all. And the bank of God is full. Jesus and God never went through a recession, you know. COVID never affected them. Here, still people going on about it yet. A fella said to me the other day, such and one of those COVID you died of. Now, this was only the other day here. And then they named what else was wrong with him. But COVID got to blame. COVID's blamed for everything. And you go into hospitals and it's COVID. COVID's blamed. Now, I'm not here to preach about COVID, but I believe that most of it was absolute nonsense. I'll tell you that right now. And sure, that tennis player over in Australia there, they banned him. He was number one for years there. He said he was a born-again Christian. They banned him in Australia because he wouldn't get the big injection. Now it's all lifted and all look like clowns because you don't need it no more. If it was scientifically proved, how can you not have it now? It never was scientifically proved. It was made from some man in a laboratory. Just like COVID was made from a couple of people possessed with devils. That's how it come. That was a demon possession inspired them to do it. God doesn't inspire people to kill. If he does, that's against Scripture. Where's the Bible for it? Jesus came to heal all that was sick and oppressed of the devil. There you are. But the enemy's come to steal, kill and destroy. But I'm come that you might have life. And you have it more abundantly. Thank God for life this morning. John 5 and 40 says, eternal life only comes from one Jesus Christ. That's the only way it comes. There must be a personal identification, and I'm going to have to close this morning. A personal identification. He shall put his hand upon the burnt offering, verse 4. A personal contact, a personal identification. You can bring someone up. You can do everything you can do, and that's Scripture to do all that. But that individual boy or girl must come to a place for they themselves identify with the sacrifice. They must come to a place for they acknowledge they are sinners. And they must lay their hands by faith on the person of Christ. And they must identify with Christ. It's not about identifying with the church. It's about identifying with Jesus Christ. Are you identified with Jesus Christ? Then if you claim you're Pentecostal, you must identify with Pentecost. You must identify with it. How could you say you believe it and you don't identify with it? You deny it. We're in an apostolic age, and we must identify to it. Must identify with Christ. Let me read you this, and I'm going to close, from a message called Pardon. We're Christians because I went and joined the church. Joining the church is fine. But until you're identified, till you lay your hand upon him, and you and he become one, until you, the Spirit of Christ becomes in you, and you in Christ, until you become a son and daughter of God, that don't seem to be the sincerity they ought to have. It becomes a ritual, just the same as it is now. It's ritual for people to become a Christian. You've got to be identified with Christ in this life living in you. That's when you're identified with Christ. It's when Christ lives in you. It isn't a ritual. It isn't belonging to church. That's all good. But you see, it takes real sincerity. And I believe I can say this morning, there's not the sincerity that there used to be. If they're talking about no sincerity in the 1960s, what about today? 2023, that's 63 years ago. That's unbelievable, isn't it? More than my whole lifetime, and I'm getting old. And I tell you, we look at ourselves and you think of plenty of time. You haven't. That's a lie. You haven't plenty of time. Don't ever let nobody tell you, wait, you have plenty of time. That's a lie. Driving around the road the other day and thinking the age of, and I said to myself, boy, wait, I tell you, time's going. Time's going. And I realized life's a blink. Me and Sharon Segar, 28 years. 28 years, like yesterday. I remember a guy as young, nearly this waist lad here, when we had the meetings in the schoolhouse. Only a wee young fella. Life's gone. Life's gone by. And we can be so busy and so caught up with so many things, and the Lord doesn't get no time. There's no effort put into it. And then one day it's all over. All over. I wish I'd done more. Too late. Too late. Now's the time. Now's the day. We need to have a vision right now. We need to pray more now. We need to do what we can do. It's not for works, but their works proves your faith. You will have works because you're saved. You will have works. Let me say that. You will put the neighbor's bin out if you have to, because you are a Christian. Won't save you, but you'll do it. You'll be glad to do it for them. Is that right? Certainly it is. The Lord's coming again. My, I tell you, the time goes. You could think to yourself, you know, I'll be doing this. And then you could plan out. Well, listen, think of my own self. How many times did I used to go out to Africa and all them different places in 1 year? I used to go every July, every Easter, every Christmas, 4 or 5 times a year. I've seen me going. Many times am I going now? None. COVID stopped everything. COVID stopped it. And every single pastor you talk to around the world, they'll tell you the church has never regained the members it once had. Were they real Christians at all? That would be my question. Were they real at all? Or were they just counting heads? Numbers means nothing. You could go down to the chapel and it could be full. But are they born again? Are they going to heaven? It only takes a few that's real. And God's looking for the real sincerity. He's given us all. Jesus has given us all. For me and you. Let's serve him. Let's stand our feet this morning. And I'm going to ask the musicians to come praise God. I hope I've said something to encourage you, not discourage you now. Aren't you glad the Lord gave us all? You know, if the Lord leads and we have a time of prayer this morning, so often when we have a wee time of prayer in a meeting, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm glad you saved me. Thank you, Lord. That's not much. Somebody done something for you, would you not say, thank you, brother? I would. Thanks. Appreciate that. That's all the Lord wants. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know how to pray. Surely you know how to say thank you, Lord. Appreciate you. See the difference it'll make. See the difference it'll make when you confess me before man. I'll confess you before the Father in heaven. God wants us to appreciate him. Surely he's to be appreciated. He's to be admired. The Bible says he's the glory and the lift of our head. Let us bow our heads in an attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, we bow before you with reverence and fear. We know the fear of the Lord, godly fear, bringeth repentance. Lord, I pray you'll help every one of us to guard our tongue, our actions. Lord, just help us to be the men and women of God that you want us to be. Lord, we know you're coming again. You're coming again. We pray for your leadership, for your guidance. We pray you give every one of us a fresh vision to reach a lost and dying generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stir our hearts, Lord. Every one of us, help us to be men and women of prayer. Lord, restore the backslidden this morning. Lord, maybe someone not here in their way and the devil's lied to them. Speak to their heart, Lord Jesus. You said, of my sheep I've lost none that thou hast given me. We're so glad that you're the good shepherd this morning. The good shepherd giveth us life. for the sheep. Bless your sheep, Lord, not just in this room, but all abroad. Today in this country where the truth is preached, bless your sheep. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Just to give you as an update before I get down, because I'll forget. Jeffrey Beattie, we prayed for him. He's in bad shape. He's up on the bed. And he asked to see his children and everything. And there's a massive improvement on him. Now, I was told that. And then the fella, the next breath came out of him. But we need to watch. He could go back. May I tell you, that's the devil. He wants you to go back. But there's no point coming back when you put your hand forward on the plow. Keep it on it. Keep it on it and keep going forward for the Lord. But God's definitely touched him. And I know the family appreciates all the prayers. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, praise God. Let's just sing a couple of courses before we close this morning. Through it all, I've